Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I'm going to start off here today in La Jolla, California in 2014. In the first week of July, there was the beachgoers were in this big panic because they saw this disturbing sight as they gazed out into the ocean. And normally it's, you know, this wonderful kind of crystalline blue-green waters. And all of a sudden they saw this shadow that was moving for these dark patches that were beginning to move towards the coastline. Of course, this panic ensued, and everyone was afraid that it was a new oil spill that was heading towards the coastline that would have wreaked havoc upon the ecosystem in Southern California. So they sent researchers out immediately to go out and try to explore. It didn't end up being an oil spill. It ended up being a massive school of anchovies. So I hate to see the pizza that went on. Okay, so yeah, this huge thing. And so, you know, it looked like something. Shadows can be kind of confusing things. Shadows, you know, you can look at something in a shadow, and it gets kind of weird. So let's try to identify this. So how many of you think, what's that? Okay, how many, raise your hand if you think it's a dog. Okay, what else? Let's see what it is. It's a hand. You're right. It's not a dog, it's a hand. So it's a... I know it's what it's supposed to be. When I was a little kid, I remember sometimes I'd have to, my mom taught art and my dad was in a hospital, and so I was trying to go to bed, and the neighbors, every now and then, they'd turn on their garage light, and all of a sudden, in my window, there would be this shadow, and I was convinced it was a monster, and I'd look at this thing, and it would just go back and forth, and I was always in a panic, and so I finally figured out that it was actually a tree. But it looked like one thing. The shadow looked like something, but it wasn't. And so sometimes when we look at shadows, they can kind of confuse us a little bit. Now, why are we saying this? That's kind of our theme as we're getting ready to go back into the book of Leviticus. We've just launched our series on Leviticus, and I call it the broccoli series. You know, there's some things we really enjoy, and we kind of love them. And then there's some books in the Bible that are kind of rough and hard for us to get into. And certainly the book of Leviticus is one of those. So rather than just say, hey, we're only going to deal with eating, you know, the spaghetti, and eating all those other things, we need some broccoli from time to time. And so this is our broccoli series. But to be honest, it's hard for us to comprehend the book of Leviticus. You know, it's got that Old Testament feel, and you get like one chapter in, and they're already talking about sacrifices and blood and all this stuff. And we're like, what in the world does that have to do? We can't relate as a culture and as a time with some of the events and things that were happening. So there's this level of difficulty we talked about last week. But there are four main topics in the book of Leviticus. The first topic we tackled last week, which was these ritual sacrifices and things. So if you feel free to go online if you weren't with us, or if you need to kind of catch up on that. And we broke that down, and we kind of looked at how there's another part of the Bible that helps us understand the book of Leviticus. And that's the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the author of Hebrews, obviously of Jewish descent, kind of lets us know some things. And so as we look at the sacrificial system, or what we're going to talk about this week, the priesthood, the writer of Hebrews lets us know a few things. He calls these things, the sacrificial system, the priesthood, the whole laws of clean and unclean, and the Day of Atonement, he calls them a shadow. And so just like sometimes you see a shadow, and a shadow is just an outline, and there's no depth, and there's no color, we just kind of see a shadow. The law, the priesthood, the sacrificial system, the laws of clean and unclean, and even the Day of Atonement, these are a shadow of something that is real. And so for us to understand it, Don't be like, you know, like we kind of fell into the trap of looking at something and trying to identify it by looking at the shadow. We need to look at the real thing. And the writer of Hebrews lets us know about the real thing. So today we're going to kind of move forward with this thought in mind of balancing the book of Hebrews as a lens that we can look through, look at the book of Leviticus, and get a better depth of understanding of what's really being talked about. So today, the second topic, the priesthood, which is kind of strange to us. And it's, you know, we don't really have that type of a society now. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. And today's message is going to be over Leviticus 8 through 10 and Leviticus 21 through 22. Those are the selection of the priesthood and then the qualifications of the priesthood, respectfully. So Leviticus 8, 5 through 11. And just so you're aware, I really appreciate Bob Clark. We had a lightning strike last week and we lost two of our projectors. And so we're kind of limping around and all the parts come in tomorrow. So next week we'll be back up and running, but I appreciate Bob Clark, running another cable and get us up and going. So Leviticus 8, 5 through 11. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put a coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And then he placed the breastplate on him. And in the breastplate, he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head. And on the turban in front, he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. So right there, we're kind of like, wow, aren't you all inspired now that you've read that? It's kind of like, what? What does this have to do with us? Seriously, how does this relate to us in any way, shape, or form? What does this have to do with how we live our lives in 2019? Well, it's kind of, look at the shadow a little deeper so that we can maybe gain some understanding. This is describing, in Leviticus 8, the Levitical priesthood. Now, the word Levitical comes from, basically derived from the name of Jacob's third son, which was Levi. So the descendants of Levi were the Levites. And of the Levites were Moses and Aaron. Remember Moses in the book of Exodus, whom God called to lead God's chosen people out of Israel. And Aaron, his brother. Now, Aaron's descendants served as the priests in Israel. And they ministered in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. And the Levitical priest bore the responsibility of offering the sacrifices that the law required. Now, all the priests were Levites, but not every Levite was a priest. We had the high priest, we had priests, and then we had some other Levites. And so these other Levites that were non-priests, they had other jobs in the temple. Some of them cleaned up, some of them built, some of them were musicians. So they had many other jobs. And of other note of importance, when all of the children of Israel came and settled the promised land, the 12 tribes, there were inheritances given to all the tribes except the tribe of Levi. In fact, to fulfill a prophecy, the Levites didn't receive their own inheritance, but they were given an inheritance within each and every tribe. The Levites were scattered to fulfill a prophecy. So the Levites were amongst everybody. And they were there within each tribe. There were a number of Levites who would serve as priests, who'd serve as judge, who'd serve as the teachers of the law, as we read in Deuteronomy 33, verse 10. They were the teachers. These individuals served to let God's children know of the ordinances of God, of the laws and the commands of God. Now, only the high priest was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And this was only done once a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement, to offer sacrifices for all the people, including himself, as we see in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. And there was only one high priest at a time. Now, in chapters 21 through 22 of Leviticus, we read the specific instructions and how the priests were held to the highest standard and the high priest to the highest standard of how he lived his life, his behavior, and his ritual purity. Now, with all of that, and again, I see everybody in this room's eyes glazed over. What does that have to do with anything? I'm going to tell you. So that was the big broccoli. Now we're going to get into the cheese sauce on the broccoli. Let's look at the lens so that we can understand what we just read and how, in fact, it does connect with us. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 12. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Now, that's kind of confusing. Let me just do a little backup here. So he talks about the priests who were from the line of Aaron, but then he kind of throws this odd character, Melchizedek. Well, who in the world is this? Well, we know that Abraham had this time where he was trying to rescue Lot, and there was this battle between these kings, and then we see this character arrive on the scene called Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest. And it says that he was the king of Salem. And then we learn some things about this Melchizedek. We learn that he didn't have a father, he didn't have a mother, he had no beginning of days, and he had no end of days. Who you think that is? This is what we know in Scripture as a theophany. In other words, it is a theophany. It is an appearance of God Himself who comes down and offers Him, get this, bread and wine. And Abram pays tithes into this Melchizedek, this priest that's a king of Salem. Salem meaning the king of peace. So what the author is writing is saying, look, this priesthood, this Levitical order, it's not perfect. And so my first point of 3 points today is this. The Levitical priesthood was a temporary priesthood. It was a temporary shadow. The Levitical, just like we have our hand puppet, okay, it looks like a wolf or it looks like a dog. Just like we saw this thing, it looked like an oil spill, but we really didn't know what it was. The priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, is a shadow. It's not the real thing. The real thing was something greater. So what was casting this shadow? Well, we're going to see that it's actually this priest after the order of Melchizedek. So let's go on and kind of break this open a little bit. Because the Levitical priesthood was never intended to be permanent. And just like the ritual sacrificial system we talked about last week, the law, it was pointing to something better, something pure, and something eternal. So, verses 22 through 27. The writer of Hebrews writes, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, this Jesus, holds his priesthood, what's the next word there, gang? Permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, this is great news, gang. This next is great news. He is able to what? Save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy. Now he's going to describe Jesus. The writer here is letting us know what the real priesthood was supposed to be. He was supposed to be holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. The death of Jesus Christ, gang. The death of Jesus Christ put an end to the old covenant and the Levitical priesthood, as evidenced by the rending of the temple, of the veil of the temple from top to bottom in Matthew chapter 27. Now think about this. A high priest could only go into that physical presence of God once a year on the Day of Atonement. And there was this huge veil. In fact, this veil was so thick that it, for the veil in the temple to be set, they had to hook up a team of oxen to pull a rope and a pulley system to erect this thing. It was massive. It was thick. It was some Bible commentaries note that it could have been close to 12 inches thick. That's a big old piece of cloth. And yet it tore when Jesus hung on the cross, breathed his last breath. It tore in two from top to bottom. How did this happen? Because Jesus himself was letting us know something, that now he is our priest and that we can talk to God. You know, with this whole priest system, this whole Levitical priest system, we don't talk to God, we talk to a priest, and a priest talks to God. And it's unfortunate today that there are still religious systems that are set up that try to make some form of a middleman that say, you know, we have, you are not able to talk to God, you have to go through another person. Look, we go through Jesus Christ, who happens to be God anyway. That's good news, gang. And some of us still walk around, as is evident, I have conversations with people and they get into a rough point in their life and they're like, Pastor, and they come in and they're like, I've got this issue in my life. I've really been struggling. I'm like, well, have you talked to God about it? And they'll say something like this. Well, God won't listen to me. Huh? What? No, wait, can you pray to God for me? Why? It's above my, yes, I will. I'll be happy to pray with you, but certainly, but you can go to God through Christ, an immediate audience, because he ever lives to intercede for you. And the sacrifice that he makes is one sacrifice eternally. And it was a perfect sacrifice because he never sinned. I mean, think about this. Think about the prophetic utterance that was done by the high priest that stands up and looks at Jesus when they're saying, crucify me. He says, look, I find no fault with him. For that comment to be made, to say, I find no fault, they could have had a million things to find fault, but they examined him and he was blameless. He was literally, the priest was examining the Lamb of God as they did sacrificially and deeming him to be blameless, an acceptable, pure sacrifice that was eternal. And since Jesus Christ is eternal, his sacrifice is eternal. It'll really mess with you now. His scripture tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. So even as it happened on earth, it was already decided and done in the realm. That's a pretty powerful thing. Man, God is awesome. God is awesome. So the death of Jesus put to an end this old covenant, which brings me to my second point today, which is this. Jesus is our eternal high priest. Okay? Hebrews chapter 6, 19 through 20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So what he's letting us know is this, everything that the earthly priesthood, everything that the earthly that the Levitical priesthood, that the Levitical sacrificial system was based on, Jesus totally, 100% fulfilled, and now offers to us that we can have a relationship with God, mano y mano. We can be in fellowship with God. Gang, that is good news. Everything. Think of it like this. Everything that the priesthood was to do for us imperfectly, because they were imperfect people. That's why the priests would have to go in and offer sacrifice for themselves first. And they'd have to wash first. They'd have to do. Have you ever wondered why in the world Jesus was baptized? Look, when we get baptized, when we operate in baptism, I just met with a young man today and we're talking about baptism. Remember what I said? Baptism is like remember the first thing I said, if it's like two ceremonies, remember what they were? What were they? Bam. Good job. I said, a baptism is like a funeral and a wedding. It's a funeral because you're saying goodbye to the old man. You know that you've messed up. When in the world did Jesus sin? So why was Jesus baptized? Somebody's calling somebody. If it's God, please answer and say, oh, it's Howard. Howard, how dare you?
Howard, it's Michael. Turn your phone off.
Okay. I love that technology. No, so it's like a wedding and a funeral. It's a funeral in terms of this. We're saying goodbye to the old man. We are burying him, and it's a wedding because we're being raised anew and part of the church, the bride of Christ. This is awesome stuff. Okay? So if you think about Jesus and the words when Jesus went to John the Baptist and John said, look, I have need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said this to John, ready for your suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Before a lamb could be sacrificed, it had to be washed. Before a priest could officiate, he had to be washed. It's not that he had anything wrong. He was totally 100% fulfilling the law. No one got that. Okay. If you would have got it, you'd have been like, wow, that's really cool. I think that was really cool. Okay, so everything that the priesthood did for us imperfectly, Jesus did for us both perfectly and eternally. So why do we have church on Sunday? So why do we follow the law? If we're made righteous, well, that means that we're not underneath the bondage of the law. No, we are liberated from the bondage of the law to serve God on a higher level. Because most people look at the law and say, what's the bare minimum I can do? When you understand that you have died to your sin nature and now you want to live for Christ, it ain't about the bare minimum. It's how can I lay down everything? God, I want to give you everything. So, what does this mean? It means we have forgiveness of sin and we have fellowship with God and with one another. And that means when through Jesus Christ, we can come closer to God and we can come closer to one another. And if we really want to understand the priesthood, gang, don't look at the shadow. Look at the one who casts the shadow. So many people try to approach the scripture by saying, look, I want to look at the shadow and then try to understand Christ through the priesthood. No. I really believe we have it backwards. You want to understand the priesthood, you're going to see a shadow of what the real thing was. What cast the shadow was Jesus Christ. And so that liberates us. And that's what gives birth to legalism. That's what gives birth to real big errors and fallacies in our theology. And we try to load our theology up with rules and regulations and rituals to try to somehow make us okay, when the truth is Jesus died so we could be liberated from that. And we could serve him to a higher degree out of love, not out of guilt. And I tell you what, my whole life, one of the things that kept me from ever wanting to become a Christian was most Christians I knew walked around with pickle face. I mean, just ridden with guilt. We laugh about it. I've got the joy down in my heart. Okay. Jesus is our eternal high priest. One last rabbit to chase. Then we'll move on. Remember how this entire sacrificial system began in the book of Genesis? Remember how there was a tree? And what was this tree? Remember the tree that they were asked not to eat of? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple tree. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Think about this. It says, for if you eat it, the day of you eat it, then you will die. So they ate, their eyes were open, they tried to cover themselves. Jesus said, look, you can't fix yourself, you can't run into your works to fix yourself. Something has to die. So the first sacrifice was instituted. God killed an animal, made clothes for them. And so this all started, this all started with trying to figure out good and evil. Do you know what one of the jobs of the priests was? Check this out, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 10 through 11. I saw this week, and this really did something for me. One of the jobs of the priest in the instructions in Leviticus 10 said, you are to distinguish between the what? Holy and the? We think it should have said holy and unholy. What it said was the holy and the common and between the unclean and the clean. And you are able to do what? Teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses. So the shadow was saying, look, there's something about this priest that's supposed to let you know between common and holy. This is supposed to let you know between, I'm implying, the good and the evil, the whole, the clean and the unclean. So where are we supposed to learn these things? It's not that God didn't want us to have the knowledge of good and evil. It's that God wanted us to have His knowledge of good and evil. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit lets us know there are times that there are things that are quote unquote lawful, but they're not expedient. Well, I'm going to read somebody's mail right now. Because there's a lot of us that are like, how can I get away with it? Okay, is this, well, I'm not really breaking a commandment, and I'm not really doing this, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it and enjoy it. And the Holy Spirit's sending you a prompt, because there are times where Christians deny themselves. There are times where Christians put the needs of someone else above their own, right? I mean, in Matthew, what we just read was that there's an understanding in the Gospel of Matthew 22 that Jesus taught them. He said, what the greatest commandment? And He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. By the way, which of the Ten Commandments is love your neighbor as yourself in the law? You're not going to find it, because it ain't one. Well, Jesus is a lawbreaker. He misquoted Scripture. No, He didn't. He fulfilled you and let you know everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there are times that means that we serve a higher place where there are things that are lawful. Paul says, look, I've come to a place in Christ where all things are lawful, but not all are expedient. And when we really want to walk in step with God and with the Holy Spirit, we're going to recognize that He is the one. As I said last week, there are, just because the majority of people believe something doesn't mean it's right. And we as a nation, man, we're on some shaky ground when we are labeling what is good and evil, and we've pulled our moorings off the foundation of what we originally established them on. And God has been around a lot longer than our nation has. So that's point one, was the Levitical priesthood was a temporary priesthood, not permanent. Point two was Jesus is our eternal and perfect high priest. And my third and final point today, Gary, get ready to put your swimsuit on, is we are called. This is really, really hard. We are called to live as a holy priesthood. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Let's all read that first part, verse 4 through 5 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what, am I supposed to put on a mitre and a hat and walk around with the Urim and the Thummim and an ephod? No, that's not what I'm saying. You'd all look really weird. Some of you already look really weird, so you don't need any more help with that. What I'm saying, gang, is this. Spiritually, we are called to be holy, to be set apart from the world, to walk as a unique expression of God's love. I'm not supposed to do the priestly duties. Sure you are. You're supposed to offer spiritual sacrifices. Your worship is a spiritual sacrifice. You're supposed to reflect and even teach the world around you what Jesus thinks and what Jesus teaches. I'm not saying ram it down their throat. I'm saying let your light shine. Let your love be so evident in the face of a wicked and a dark generation that people can do nothing but to glorify the God in whom you serve. Because sometimes I've listened to some of us and our self-talk is pretty horrible. I can't, I won't, I'm horrible, I'm ugly, I'm lousy, I'm blah, 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 blah. Hogwash to all that. This is what you are. You are important enough for God to send His only Son to die for you because He loves you and He has a purpose and He has a plan. And anything you're trying to fill that void with outside of what God created to be is only going to make you more and more thirsty. You're going to work, you're going to work, you're going to work, and you're always going to get frustrated. And you're going to plan and scheme in your mind. How can I overcome? How can I come to get a place of fulfillment and contentment? And you come to the end of your plan, and that's all there is? So let's read verses 9 through 10 with a passion that we know. Verses 9 through 10, let's make it personal. Are you ready? Ready? But I am a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that I may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once I was not a people, but now I am God's people. Once I had not received mercy, but now I have received mercy.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.